Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to preach to you this morning on the subject, He's Alive. Does it matter? Does it really matter? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 22, we'll read to begin with. Follow in your Bibles as we read. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, but which also ye are saved if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, which we have testified of God that he raised him up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you are yet in your sins, then also they which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for this Resurrection Sunday. Thank you so much for Jesus, the fact that he is alive, that he dealt with our sins completely, paid the price, and rose victorious over death. And we thank you for that today. Lord, I pray for enablement to bring this message. May we understand that it truly does matter when we talk about the resurrection of Jesus. If there's someone here who has never yet trusted him as their Savior, we pray that today would be the day they put their faith and trust in the finished work of Christ, and they would claim you as their personal Savior. And Lord, we know that if they will, that you will forgive their sin, and you will make them your own child, and you'll promise them a home in heaven. And before that, you'll promise them, Lord, a life of service here for you. What a privilege to serve the living Christ. Bless this message now. Give enablement to it, as we say, to bring it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. He is risen. He is risen indeed. That's correct. The record of the Bible and human history support the fact that Jesus rose from the grave. Also, the evidence of changed lives, the growth of the church through the centuries, and the triumph of the Word of God against all kinds of enemies prove that Jesus is alive. If the resurrection of Jesus Christ could be disproved, the Bible would not be able to survive its enemies. It would end up as a relic in human history like many other books. But today, Jesus is alive. And therefore, the Bible is the best-selling and most-read book of all the ages. Yes, Jesus is alive, and it truly does matter. But I ask the question today, how does it matter? I mean, do you know why it really matters that Jesus is alive? If he never rose from the grave, would it make a difference? Almost 35 years ago, I lost my dad. And then last fall, I lost my mother. I was there when my dad passed away, and I was there when my mother passed away. I saw them take their last breath. I remember going with the family to the funeral home and making arrangements. And while we were there making arrangements, I asked you, would it make a difference while we were making those arrangements, the back door of the funeral parlor opened up and my dad or my mom walked in. Oh, yes, it would have made a difference. It would have made a difference in me. I'd probably been frightened to death. And it would have made a difference for the rest of these years that I'd hoped to have my dad with me. It would have made a difference, I'm sure. If they were all of a sudden were alive, I would have to say it truly would make a difference. Last year, we were at First Baptist Church in Milford for the Grand National Championship run of the Pine Cars. And while we were doing that, one of our grandchildren, I think it might have been Anna at that time, or one of them was in the finals. And I text my children. I had my old phone at that time, and I text my children who live away. And I said, go online. And I gave them where they were to go online for Master Club. And you will be able to view this race live. And you'll be able to do that next week, by the way, Monday and Tuesday night. And you'll be able to view the race because their race is coming up. They're getting ready to race. And I put in all their numbers, you know how you do, and you text it. And one of the numbers I put in was Joy. And Joy's with us this morning, her children from Virginia. We're glad to have them for the holiday. And I put her number in along with the other. And then I got back a response. And the first response was, what? And I said, go to such and such a date and such and such a place and watch Anna, she races in the Grand Nationals. And the next response came back, who is this? So I responded, it's your dad. And then the response came back, my dad died in 1978. I said, sorry, I must have the wrong number. I didn't have the nerve to call her back, but then she responded one more time, and I didn't answer. She said, I'm Debbie Taylor. Now, maybe Debbie Taylor somewhere will get a message off of sermon audio and hear this. I don't know. But definitely, I got the wrong number. And this lady was surprised because her dad died in 1978. Now, if I had really been that lady's dad, let me ask a question. Would it matter? Well, sure it would matter. It would matter a lot. It would be very special to her and might have frightened her, but I imagine if she could talk to her dad again, she would be glad of that. Surely it would matter. And so much the more, doesn't it matter that Jesus Christ is alive? I mean, there's nobody like Jesus. He's the God-man. He's the one who dealt with all of our sin on the cross of Calvary. And He is alive. Does it make a difference? Surely it makes a difference. Because Jesus is alive. Now this morning I want to talk to you from 1 Corinthians 15 about the difference that it makes that Jesus is alive. The Lord makes it very clear in this passage. Paul writes and he says, if Jesus is not risen, your preaching is vain. Verse 14, your preaching is vain. You know, you think about that, that'd be quite a thing if our preaching was vain. I mean, preaching is central to Christianity. I mean, if there's one thing that's really always existent in Christianity, it's preaching. Preaching is it. I mean, you're supposed to preach. The Bible says that Jesus never told His followers to go develop a program. He never told them to go build a building. He never told them to go do a lot of things that our churches are doing today, and some of them very good things. But Jesus never said, you go do this. Jesus said this, go preach. Go preach the gospel. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Acts chapter 5, verse 42, and daily in the temple and every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. In Acts 16, verse 10, Paul went into Macedonia, and he said he went into Macedonia preaching the gospel because he knew that God had called him to do that. In Acts chapter 16, verse 10, Paul went into Macedonia and preached. I already said that. Romans chapter 1, verse 15. Paul said this, I am ready to preach the gospel. I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. So he's ready to preach. He wants to preach the gospel. In Romans chapter 15, verse 20. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named. Paul said, I want to go places where they've never heard of Jesus. And when I get there, I don't want to feed the poor. And now that's important. That's all right. But he said, I want to preach. I want to preach the gospel. I want to tell them about Jesus. The gospel, we just read it a while ago, is death, burial, resurrection of Christ. You take out any of that, you've destroyed the gospel. Jesus died for our sins. He was buried and He rose again the third day. That's the gospel. And He went to preach that gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, He says, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Woe to me if I preach not the gospel." In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, He told Timothy, Paul said, He said to his son in the faith, He said, "Preach the word." 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." I mean, preaching is central to Christianity. But the Lord says this, if Jesus is not risen, your preaching is vain. I did some figuring last night. Coming in November, I believe it is, if I add it up right, November I will complete 40 years in pastoral ministry. And when that years I've actually pastored churches, 40 years. I went back over that, and you have to add that I preached before I started pastoring churches. I had rest home ministries while I was in college, in seminary, and I had preaching engagements. And then while I was in West Virginia, I preached, you know, every time. I always preach three times a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And if you take all those, and I had a radio ministry for 20 years, over 21 years, and I preached every week on the radio. I had revival meetings. Most of the time while I was in West Virginia, I had two revival meetings a week apart from our church. I would go somewhere else, and I would preach at least two revival meetings a year, 2 weeks a year. And so you add those, then you add the rest home ministries I had while I was in West Virginia. I had two rest homes I preached at. Since I've been here, I preach at a rest home every month. I also have a Bible study every month. But if you add all this up, I figured it up, and conservatively speaking, I have preached at least 17,000 sermons. Now, that's just me, little preacher. You multiply that by all the preachers since the time of Jesus Christ. And God says your preaching, if Jesus Christ is not risen, is in vain. That would be billions of sermons. Billions of sermons preaching the Word of God all around the world. And if Jesus is dead, if He is not risen, all of that is empty. All of that is vain. All of that is worthless pursuit. All of that is wasted time if Jesus is not risen. Does it matter? Yes, it matters. It matters a whole lot. I have wasted my life if Jesus is not alive. But He is alive. Also, if Jesus is not risen, the Bible says in verse 17, if Jesus is not risen, then our faith is vain. Look at verse 14, the last part of the verse. Your preaching is vain and your faith is also vain. Your faith is vain. Your faith is vain. That is, if He is dead, we have believed in vain. We have believed a lie. The thing that we are counting on, the thing that we are believing in, the thing that we are trusting in is not true. And so our faith is vain. Faith in Christ must include the resurrection. And if you have faith in Christ and including the resurrection and He did not rise from the grave, then the whole message that you believe is of no value. We are false witnesses, the Bible says in verse 16. If Jesus is not risen, all of our witness has been false. We have thought that we were telling people the truth, but we were not. If Jesus is not alive, all of that is in vain. We have nothing to tell. We have nothing to say. We would just be giving another history lesson about a dead man if Jesus is not alive. Yes, it matters a whole lot. If Jesus is not alive, your faith is vain. But then also he says something else. If Jesus is not risen, we are yet in our sins. Look at verse 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Sin is against God. Sin is a reproach against God. God says do something and we don't do it. Or God says don't do something and we do what He tells us not to do. That is sin. Sin is displeasing God. And if you were to die with all of your sin, you're going to face a holy God someday. And when you face a holy God and you have all your sins upon you, all the sins you've ever committed from birth until death, when you face God, you would have all those sins to give an account for, and there's no way you could survive that. God is a holy God. And so if Jesus is not alive, I mean, the Bible tells us that on the cross of Calvary, He took our sins. He paid for all of our sins. And therefore, He paid the complete price that God demanded for us, and that's how we can escape the wrath of God, because He paid it. But we would not know it was paid unless He came forth out of the grave. In fact, if He's dead, we would know that it's not paid. Because if our sin could put Him in the grave and keep Him there, then He didn't have victory. He didn't completely pay for it. And so our sins are not paid for. And if Jesus is not alive, as it says, you are yet in your sins. Now, for some of you, it might not worry you that you're going to go out into eternity with your sins. Because some deceive themselves and say, well, I'm better than my neighbor. And I compare myself horizontally with other people around me, and I stand pretty good. I mean, I'm good to people. I treat my wife right, treat my kids right. I provide for my own. I work hard, and I don't do the really bad sins. I'm a pretty good guy, and I think I stand as good a chance as anybody else getting to heaven. Yeah, you do, because nobody stands any chance on their own. And you might think you're good enough, but you're not. And if you die without Jesus as your Savior, you will be yet in your sins and you'll face a holy God, and there'll be no chance at all that you'll escape that. There'll be no chance at all that you'll get to go to heaven, because He doesn't allow sin in heaven. But if Jesus is not risen, that would be true of everybody, even us who say we believe Him. If we find out that He is not risen, then we would be in our sins. And that would be a terrible place to be. I'm glad that I know when I die, I'm not going to face the Lord with all my sins. I know I'm not going to do that. I know they're all under the blood. I know they're forgiven. And I'm accepted in Jesus. Because when I die and go to heaven, He's going to be there. He's risen. And He's going to be there. And He's the one interceding for me and saying, Father, I paid for those sins. I'm glad I have a risen Savior. But if He's not alive, I am yet in my sins, and so are you. But then He tells us something else. Does it matter? Well, if Jesus is not risen, our Christian loved ones are perished. Look at verse 18. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Those fallen asleep in Christ are those believers who trusted Jesus as their personal Savior, and then they died. Now, I can think of people like that. I think of my dad and my mom and my mother-in-law, my father-in-law and my aunt and my uncle. And you know, I think of people like that. And I think of godly people in the churches I've pastored who've gone on to be with the Lord. I think of some in this church who've gone on to be with the Lord. We're looking forward to seeing them someday. I've stood at many funeral messages and told the loved ones that your loved one, I feel sure they trusted Jesus as their Savior. And I believe they're in heaven today. And we're going to see them someday. But you see, if Jesus is not alive, you won't see those Christian loved ones in heaven. They're all perished. If Jesus is not alive, it's a very sad message. I would have to say to all of you, those you're looking forward to seeing in heaven, you're not going to see them there. Because they didn't make it. Because they believed a lie. If Jesus is not alive. But Jesus is alive. And therefore, I'm going to see them in heaven. Let's say Jesus was not alive and you led somebody to the Lord. I've had many people tell me testimonies and say, I led my mother to the Lord. I led my dad to the Lord. I led my brother to the Lord. And you led them to faith in Jesus Christ, and now you're looking forward to see them in heaven. If Jesus is not alive, my friend, you not only won't see them in heaven, but you had a part of them going to the other place because you told them a lie. I mean, does it matter if Jesus isn't alive? You better believe it matters a whole lot. If Jesus is not alive, then you'll never see your Christian loved ones in heaven. And then he says something else. Look at verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, then we are of all men most miserable. If Jesus is not alive, you're a miserable person. I mean, pity you and pity me. Because we've staked everything on the fact that Jesus is alive. I mean, I've staked my whole career on the fact that Jesus is alive. I mean, I graduated from college and went on to graduate school and seminary and graduated from there. And I've spent all those years in preparation. If Jesus is not alive, I spent all those years teaching people, telling people about something that's not true. And if that was really true, that Jesus wasn't alive, I mean, miserable person I would be. Jesus says, if in this life only you have hope in Christ, in other words, there's nothing afterwards, then you're of all men most miserable because you believed something that wasn't true and you led other people to believe something that wasn't true and you're a person to be pitied. I would hate to be in the shoes of a person who leads people the wrong way. And I don't want to be that person, but Jesus is alive and so I'm not going to be that person because He is alive. But then let's notice something else. If Jesus is not risen, we will never rise from the grave. Look at verse 20. And now is Christ risen from the grave and become the first fruits of them that slept. Christ has risen from the grave and become the first fruits of them that slept. Now, first fruits means it's a promise of more to come. Jesus was the first one to rise victorious from the grave and have a glorified body. Jesus is the first one. There will be others to follow. When the rapture takes place, Jesus takes us home to be with Him. That's following the first fruit, Jesus. And then the other resurrections are going to take place. There's going to be a resurrection of Old Testament saints. These things are going to happen in the future. But it's all because of the first fruit, that is Jesus. If Jesus never made it into heaven, I mean, how do you think you're going to ever make it? If Jesus didn't rise from the grave, and He's the perfect one, why do you think you'd ever rise from the grave? And if Jesus didn't rise from the grave, then we'll never rise from the grave. Now, that would be a great disappointment to me. I mean, I look out here, and I can see a lot of you are becoming older. Some of you look older than you did when I came here a few years ago. I look older than I did when I came here a few years ago. Our bodies are deteriorating. Our bodies are breaking down. And our memory's not the best. I hate to admit it, but I've already admitted it to some, so I have to tell you. Yesterday, I did something I vowed I would never do again. I ran the baptistry over. You remember a few years ago I did that. Destroyed the basement. Had to take out all the ceiling. Take all the cabinets. And had to redo the whole basement. I'll never do that again. I was running the baptistry yesterday, and after I got started running, I know about how long it takes. I'm going to go downstairs and work on some of those pine cars. We were trying to put wheels on them and everything, and I thought I'd do a little work downstairs. Well, I got enjoying that, and I forgot about it, and I heard this noise, and it was running water, running in the basement. And I thought, no, and as you know, I bunged up my knee the other day, and it's getting better, but boy, I tell you, a guy with a bunged knee never ran so fast. As I ran upstairs here and shut the water off, and then I went out here and I crawled underneath because the way you have to do this, you have to crawl underneath the church and crawl back in there and turn this valve off or open the valve up to let the water out of the baptistry, and it's something. But I did that why? Because my memory. I just forgot. I forgot. And result was, now gladly I was here. And it didn't do a lot of damage. I had to mop all the bathroom up downstairs and some in the kitchen. And before anybody got here, I had most of it cleaned up. And most people never even known it happened. But it could have been a catastrophe. And if I had done what I did last time, I might have just went home and said, honey, I think it's time to move. But why is those things like that? Well, we get older. We get older, and we do things. And of course, sometimes you do things like that when you're young, but we all fail. Well, I'm looking forward to a brand new body. And I've preached about it. I mean, our body's going to be living, the Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 15. It's going to be incorruptible, never defiled, never break down, never deteriorate, never get old, never get sick. Our new body is going to be immortal, never die. Our new body is going to be a celestial body as opposed to a terrestrial body. It's going to be made to dwell in the, with the Lord. Our body is going to be like Jesus. That means his new body. And we're going to be sinless like he is. I mean, we're going to have a body that can do supernatural things, just appear somewhere and not have to open the door, just walk through a wall. We can do things like that. I mean, I've told a lot of people, and in rest homes I've told people about, that look, the best is yet to come. You're going to have a new body someday. And oh, it's going to be great. Remember what it was like when you were 30 years old? And then they all smile and you say, that's about the way it's going to be, except better. And you're going to be that way for all eternity. But if Jesus is not alive, I'll never rise from the grave. My body they put in the grave will never come out. If Jesus is not alive, that'll be the end. And wouldn't it be sad to think that life ended here? Some people debate today and say, well, there's no life after death. Then somebody has a near-death experience and they say, oh, there's life after death because a little boy had this experience. It ain't great for that little boy. But my friend, that's not the reason I believe it. I believe it because God says so. I don't need an experience like that to believe there's a heaven. I know what God says. And God says there is. But if Jesus didn't rise from the grave, then how do I think I'm ever going to rise from the grave? And the scripture says it plainly. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept? Since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But if he was not made alive, we won't be either. Does it matter? Does it matter that Jesus really rose from the grave? Yes, it matters a great deal. But then there's something else. If Jesus is not risen from the dead, death will never be conquered. Look at verse 25. For he, that is the risen Lord, must reign until he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Death is our enemy. I mean, it's claimed multitude, billions of people. Death is our enemy. That's what finally takes us under, is death. And the Lord says that because Jesus is alive, he's going to destroy death, and he's going to reign, and he's going to rule, and the last enemy that will be destroyed is death, and there will come a time when nobody will ever die again. And that's in that new heaven and new earth that the Lord's prepared for us, and I'm looking forward to that. But if Jesus is not alive, that'll never take place. He's the only one that can conquer death, and if he didn't conquer death, then there is no conquering of death. And death wins. And if death wins, who's the one that started death anyway? It's the devil. And if devil wins, that means Jesus loses and the devil's the winner. That would be very disheartening to think the devil was the winner. The devil's the loser. But Jesus, the Bible says, will reign until the last enemy that is destroyed is death. But Jesus is alive. And we don't have to worry about death because he's going to destroy it. He's going to take it out of the way. Now I want us to go back over these things. The Lord says it matters. It matters a great deal that Jesus is alive. If Jesus is risen, because he's arisen, our preaching is not vain. So I can come through all these years of ministry and I hope I have a lot more left. If Jesus tarries. But I can live my life out as a preacher of the Word of God and not be disappointed at all because I know that it has not been in vain. God has allowed me to preach and there's a reason for it and God sees fruit from it and God gets the glory from it and thank the Lord I can preach. My preaching is not vain. Our faith is also not vain. What I believed in, I don't have to be disappointed about that. I'll never be sorry for that. I believed in Jesus, and I'll never regret that at all. My faith is not in vain. Because as Jesus is alive, I am not in my sins. I'm glad I'm not. That's why I don't fear death, because I'm not going to go out into eternity with my sins. I'm going to go out into eternity with my sins paid for by Jesus. And I'm going to get to heaven not because I'm good, but because of what Jesus did for me. And He paid for every sin against my account. He paid it all, and I'm trusting Him. He paid it. He was buried, rose again the third day as proof. It's all paid for, so I am not in my sins. Because Jesus is alive, my Christian loved ones have not perished. I will see Dad again. I will see Mom again. I will see Evelyn's parents again. I will see those that are close to us. I will see them again because I know that Jesus is alive. Those dear church members that we've known and ministered with so many years who've gone on to be with the Lord, we'll see them again. My wife was just with Pat, you know, for a couple of weeks in Florida. And it's so good to know that someday we're going to see John again. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing him. I'm looking forward to seeing John again. He'll have a brand new body and all will be well. And we're going to see him again someday. And so our Christian loved ones have not died in vain. We will see them. They're not perished. Because Jesus is alive, we're not miserable. I mean, we're happy people. We have a reason to be happy. Our sins are forgiven. We're sons of God, joint heirs with Christ. We're going to enjoy eternity with the Lord. The best is ahead of us, not behind us. I mean, we have every reason to be happy. We're not miserable people. Because Jesus is alive, our bodies one day will rise from the grave. Because Jesus is alive, we will have victory over death. But my friend, because Jesus is alive, it's very serious too, and it matters to those who don't trust Him. Because, see, if you reject Jesus Christ, let me tell you some things about you. If you reject Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are rejecting a message that is absolutely true and has been preached all over this world, the gospel message. You are rejecting that, a message from God. If Jesus is alive, and He is, your lack of faith will doom you for all eternity. If Jesus is alive, and He is, you will never see those Christian loved ones. Even though you're not saved, you still have some people that believe and you love them, but you will never see them again. If Jesus is not alive, if Jesus is alive, and He is, you will never see them again. If Jesus is alive, and He is, you are all of all men most miserable. I mean, just think about it. You sit in a church like this and probably other churches and you've heard the message and you sit there and you don't accept Jesus as your Savior. And then you die and go out into eternity lost and forever you'll think about, oh, I had the chance, I had the opportunity, I heard the message, but I just wouldn't do it. I wanted to flirt around with sin some more. I wanted to do this and I wanted to do that. Those things were more important to me than surrendering my life to Jesus Christ, and you'll regret it for all eternity. And what a miserable person you will be. Jesus is alive, and because of that, if you reject Him, you will never rise to eternal life. You will never rise with a new body. You'll never rise like Christians do. If Jesus is alive, and He is, then you will not be victorious over death. In fact, the Scripture has an interesting way of saying it. The Lord says, if you don't trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll stand before the great white throne judgment of God. And He will judge you according to your works, but all of you standing at that judgment will be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. And the Lord says that is the second death. So you won't rise to life, you'll actually die the second time. You'll die and be separated from God for all eternity in the lake of fire and brimstone. Now, what a terrible thing that is. I ask you this morning, does it matter? Jesus is alive, but does it really matter? Oh, yes, it matters. And I plead with you today to ask yourself, where do you stand? Are you with the risen Christ? Or are you rejecting the risen Christ? If you reject the risen Christ, the world might think you cool. The world might laugh at you. The world might include you. The world might help you enjoy life with your sin. But someday you'll die. And when you die, guess who you will face? You'll face the risen Christ. And you'll know then, It mattered a whole lot. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for reminding us that Jesus is alive. And for reminding us, Lord, that it does matter. It does matter that He came victorious from the grave. Lord, if someone here has been neutral on this issue, and they just really haven't taken sides, they thought, help them to know that by rejecting Jesus, they have taken sides. And they're actually against you. And help them know the seriousness of this, Lord, to be against Jesus. Is to be against the one who conquered the greatest thing that could ever be conquered. And that was to have the sin of the world laid on Him. And He paid for it completely. The Lord, help them to know that He paid it for them. And He offers to be their Savior if they will just believe and trust Jesus and call on You to save them. But Lord, if they won't do that, it's like having a gift offered but rejecting it. I pray they'd realize the seriousness of that today and come to know Jesus as their Savior. Work in the hearts and accomplish Your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.